What are you doing this weekend,
Neil? I don't know, trials maybe.
No way!
Hands raised in the building.
That's right, and it's time for the Dirt Chat Show. Let's do it.
Yeah, we've got a special guest in the Dirt Show. We've got Hans Ray.
Yes,
and
we have.
We're talking, the theme this week is, are mountain bikers ignorant? Should we be looking to other sports for inspiration? Because I think some of the greatest achievements in mountain biking have come from other places, like slopestyle.
Definitely, like, yeah. You look at BMX Park, that's influenced mountain bike slopestyle. You look at ski and snowboard pipe and slopestyle, that's influenced mountain bike slopestyle.
Yeah, so should we be looking to other sports more for inspiration? Hans, what were you into? Any other sports when you started riding?
Yeah, back then when I started, when we didn't have the internet, but we did have mentors and idols, and like I looked at other sports like BMX, even though I never necessarily did it, but I looked at it, motorcycle trials, motocross, all these things. Then later I learned from like the extreme skiing scene, surfing, skating, being in Southern California. But then I also learned from climbing expeditions, from Hollywood productions, from marketing gurus. You know, you adopt from all these little places and things, and I think you have to. Otherwise, you have to do your research and know your history, and I think everybody builds on... I think other sports learn from us too, by the way.
And I guess now everyone has access to everything. You can see the scooter dude on Instagram doing whatever, but I guess you were there when extreme sports were just becoming a thing. And that kind of got airing on mainstream TV as well. But it's kind of, you know, we looked at a bit in last week's show, there's like the second or even third generation of people like, oh, my dad was like a pro skater or whatever. That kind of, you were there right at the start. So things, I guess, you know, could have gone any which way. You didn't really know where things were going to go. And you were a trials comp rider. Did you sort of purposely think, how am I going to take this outside of here and take it to more people, more eyeballs?
Yeah, exactly. I always had this dream of taking my skills outside of competition in a real situation. That was part when I started my adventure trips to ride these really technical trails that maybe only a trials guy could do. Or I started doing these publicity stunts when I jumped over a car on the 405 freeway, or when I rode on the Lion at Trafalgar Square or whatever, and stuff like this. And it made me realize, wow, especially if not only you reach a lot bigger audience than just the mountain bike audience that goes into the woods somewhere and watches a competition, but it was also great value for the sponsors. You know, you got these cool photos back then mainly, and then later we started doing video projects. But yeah, that's kind of how it was for me.
Something about trials riders, isn't it, that have become much more rounded, like obviously Danny and Fabio, they've nailed it, and you did as well.
Who are those guys?
These kids. But they've like, yeah, you haven't seen a downhill rider or a cross-country rider like be able to find the thing that makes it go massive. It's always, for some reason, these trials are like, I know how to make this big, and it's not necessarily trials. I mean, sometimes it is, but it's just like finding this thing that everyone else goes, okay.
Yeah, we can entertain. Like, you know, I could do here some front wheel hops in the studio, and that's better than a cross country rider who would just maybe sit here and like wax his legs. But nothing against that, but we had always that advantage that we could show something, and that's why, you know, we were always a spectator sport, you know, as much as we also always felt like as these unwanted stepchilds, the trials guys.
Yeah.
But we, the spectators, wanted to see us, that we could do a cool photo and stuff. Yeah. So it's, yeah, that's just how it is. But in the early days, it definitely opened the doors to some media exposure, and it was an alternative to racing, you know, like stopwatches and Lycra.
Talk about racing, being like saying we're ignorant. I've recently just taken on, well, started, went for a race. I went BMX racing for
really?
The first time in a long time. I started BMX racing from like 4 to 10, stopped, so 28 years now. I thought, God, why haven't I continued doing this? Because I'd like blinkers, just mountain biking, being ignorant. But then I went and did BMX. And I was like, we can learn a lot from this ball.
Well, we've been talking about trials quite a lot in the office because I've just bought a moto trials bike. Unfortunately, Martin couldn't be here because you can't have two trials legends in the building at any one time.
No, we don't have a big enough building, you know.
But I wanted to talk about like how things have progressed. Now we're looking at e-bikes being harnessed by riders like yourself, riders like Chris Acrid, but also downhill riders like Josh Bryson or even Moto Trials, Tony Bow, all bringing their different styles to what is like a sport that kind of doesn't really have an identity. It's still quite new. What do you think the future of e-bike is? How do you ride yours? Is it a trail thing or is it just like a, you know, a mountain bike?
Yeah, I think that's the cool thing about bicycles in general. You can do with them what you want, what suits you. And the e-bikes are no different. I like the technical trialsy stuff, not hopping around, like old school trials. Yeah. Technical trails that I could never do before, especially the uphills, actually. Because like I can now climb stuff back home that we always had to carry the bikes. And that's those challenges, riding over things and, yeah, technical terrain. It's just like, you know, and it's the, I think the fun is, on the e-bike, the fun is a bit more, I love a hard workout too, but sometimes I just want to have fun. And if you, you know, so the e-bikes are kind of good for that.
Yeah, totally. Right, get involved in the comments. Any sports you think us mountain bikers should be looking to for inspiration that maybe go under the radar? Like, I know some riders, people like Braden Bringus was a really good gymnast, so he uses those sort of skills. Was Rogatkin a gymnast?
Rogatkin does it, yeah.
I wonder if there's more of that stuff that is completely outside of wheels where we could, you know.
Well, likewise for viewers that are looking at mountain biking as inspiration, what sport do you do? Right, last week's show, we dived into the comments because it was all about rad parents and rad dads because we had a special guest, Jake Atkinson.
Yeah, who is, I've followed him on Instagram, an amazing rider. Can't wait to see what he does. Yeah, Crankworx coming up.
Yeah, got a few interesting comments.
Yeah, first one is from Laurentius Triarius, whoever that is. My parents were supportive and liked to do the same for my kids, but they're not into it as I was, so that's where you have to know when to stop pushing.
Yeah, there is a point where you feel
pushy
like you
isn't
push,
fun.
Push, nah,
you don't want to be
put
a
your child off.
Moto dad who's making them do it, although that, sometimes that pays off.
Yeah, kind of, well, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. We got one from Jonathan Wright, 2210. My 37 son is, what? I'm 37, my son is 16, and we both ride Dovey Bike Park every month together. Now, that's pretty good going. Oh, he's actually good. Quite young, but taking your son along.
That is so cool just, these days, huh? How father and son, you see that all the time now.
Seeing that as well, user PF9 says, my dad loves to take me mountain bike and go to Mount Froome or Squamish every weekend.
Oh, Squamish.
That's a pretty good place to ride.
Really stuff. Good. So the one thing with Jonathan's comment there, taking a 16-year-old son, like when I was at the BMX racing, it was literally father-son or father-daughter or mother-daughter and son and father all joined together.
That's cool, isn't
it? It was a big family thing.
Families love racing until they have to race each other, and then there's some arguments in the back of the car on the way.
Anyway, right, it's time for the news and sickest thing.
What's up, everybody? Going to start this week with these new Boa shoes from Crank Brothers. These are the Mallet Trail Clip Shoe, and there's also a Stamp Boa flat pedal option too. Both pairs of shoes have upped their game in the lightweight department, shed a little bit of the chunkiness of the previous models, and gained a boatload of tread on the bottoms. There's elasticated cuffs to keep a bit of dirt and grime out from the inside of the shoe. There's TPU toe protection. There's a new material over a fair portion of it, which definitely looks like it will make cleaning a breeze. Black and gum is a winner in my book, and these will set you back just under $220. New bikes now. Norco have gone high pivot on two more models across their range, announcing on Wednesday that the Sight and Optic are both adopting a similar linkage layout to their Range and Aurum bikes. High pivots, as we all know, allow the rear wheel to move rearwards and upwards, working with impacts instead of against them to, in theory, maintain more forward motion, all whilst minimising chain growth so that your suspension still works as freely as possible. The Sight is a 150mm all-mountain bike with a 64-degree head angle, 77.5 seat angle, 428mm chainstays, which grow to 440mm once the bike makes its way through that travel. Five sizes available, mixed wheel or 29er. The carbon frame retails at $4,000, with the aluminium one costing $2,400. Prices for carbon full models start at $5,000. Perhaps more surprisingly, Norco's short travel trail bike, the Optic, receives the treatment too. I only say that because traditionally high pivot bikes are associated with being descent focused, whereas 125mm bikes like the Optic traditionally are not. However, this one has always been kind of aggro for what it is, and Norco decided that this was the way to go. 77-degree seat angle, 65-degree head, five sizes, full 29er or mixed wheel. There are carbon or alloy options as well, with frame kits starting at $2,000. Racing, it was Gracie Hemstreet and Ronan Dunn chalking up first places. Lou Ferguson piloted her Intense into second place after two super gnarly crashes. Bernacur in second for the men, and awesome to see George Brannigan up there in third spot for the United Ride NS team. Just Gracie and Lou able to race for the women as riders had to tick off all features in practice, and understandably, wind and rain stopped some riders attempting that huge final jump. The Shimano Supercup Massi in Banyoles is fondly referred to as the warm-up for the UCI XC race season, where we get a first glimpse at riders emerging from those turbo trainer setups after a long winter. This year, it was Victor Koretsky throwing down the gauntlet in Spain, with Jordan Saroux and Tiswan Caro finishing half a minute back. Likewise for Pauline Perrin-Pavot, she crossed the line a minute up on Yolanda Neff. Sevilla Blanc was 1:25 back from the French winner in third spot. Okay, that's my time this week. Onwards with the sickest thing.
Right, this week's sickest thing has to be this debut part from Anastasias Anastasio. Sorry if I still can't say your name. He had clips in Tea and Biscuits too, but this is his first full proper video part. It's so sick that even in a world where everyone's dancing around like clowns next to their bike, he's just determined to not take shortcuts. He just decided to like properly put in the work, spent 2 years with his friends to film a proper video part. My favorite clips have to be him getting towed into that huge gap tool. And then also just carving the brown pow after taking that massive slam, because it's just so freeride. Also, shouts to his friends Keaton and Alex for understanding the assignment and going so hard in the filming and the edit. Just bringing this one to life. Right, that's my sickest thing this week. Time to go back to the shed.
Right, Hans, you are in the UK for your talking tour. We go around and tell everyone about some of your mishaps and mayhem. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's my new live stage tour. We're going to 16 cities across the UK. Starts next week on March 5th, and it ends at the end of March. And the first one is in Andover. And yeah, it's a new talk, like I said, where we're telling a little bit the stories that we usually don't tell, you know, when things went a little bit sideways. And there's going to be all the highlights throughout my career. There's going to be some really new stories from recent trips and stuff, but also some of the old classic stuff. And I'm pretty excited, you know, pretty excited.
I think it's cool to see these. I know Martin did one last year where you've got the trials sort of nerds showing up, I'm sure, as well. But you get the sort of average mountain bikers, you just like want to hear these stories. And kind of, there's never been much of a culture of this sort of talking tours in the UK, I suppose, around mountain biking, but it's pretty interesting. It's coming about.
Yeah, we started about 5 years ago with the guys, the organizers, speakers from The Edge. And since then, I did my tour, or two tours then. And then PD did one, Minar did one, Martin did one, you know, now it's my new tour. And before that, like you said, these tours usually were like rock climbers or mountaineering expeditions or people who travel around the world. But I think mountain bikers have stories to tell too, and it's just entertaining. There's a lot of photos and footage, and there's meet and greets afterwards, and it's like a full-on evening, you know. Like it takes about a good 2 hours each talk, you know. So, and then there's free posters at the end.
Yeah, it's a good listen. I've been to one of your talks, and it's great.
Thanks. You guys got to come out and check one out.
Yes, please.
Right, we're going to throw over to the Riders Unite support. Obviously, we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now, but if you want to help support Stephen Murray, a legendary BMX rider, get out on the trail, then there's a link in the description down below. The bike is trying to find funding for it. It's super expensive, so any support is much appreciated. And we can't wait to see Stephen back out on the trails.
That is such a cool thing. I mean, he was a legend, you know, like dirt jumper, but also personality. So yeah, it's cool that Martin is doing this and you guys supporting it.
All right, into hacks and bodges. We will decide with Hans' help if it's a hack or a bodge and whose is best. First one's from Adam in Billsholm, Sweden, made this storage solution using timber, of course. Loads of trees in Sweden, surely.
Definitely lots of wood out there. But look at that. That's basically a wall mount to hold your bike up.
Is that IKEA?
Yeah. This is a bodge IKEA, I reckon.
It does look a bit
IKEA.
Bit bodgy, I reckon.
I think it assembles quicker than IKEA. Yeah.
No instructions here. I think it's just a couple of screws, cut some planks. It works, right?
Yeah, so this next one's kind of similar sort of thing. It works. It's not prettiest, but Finn, who works at Evo Cycling in Auckland, ordered one of those K-Edge top cap mounts for his Wahoo computer.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, used the original mount and sort of just filed some grooves in it and then zip-tied it around his top cap.
I think that's pretty clever.
I don't like having those sharp zip ties up there. I know.
But thing is, you can cut that with a Stanley, can't you? Like, you could trim them. You could trim them.
But I don't know. I feel like that's another bodge to me.
Do you reckon that's a bodge?
Yeah,
I'm
on the bodge. Okay. This one.
Well, then, what about this next one? Is he basically want to extend his access shifter
further inboard? I kind of get that because sometimes they're not perfect.
Yeah,
I reckon it's a good idea, but he looks a bit. You know what I mean? He could have just, I don't know, painted it or something, but
he used a sharpie.
Oh, that's pretty innovative though. That's,
yeah, I think it's.
Like, I mean, especially if it does the job, you know, it's like, hey,
that's a hack, I reckon.
Or you can get like a Shimano that slides over. And
yeah. Yes.
So that's Jeroen. Jeroen in the Netherlands. Sounds like that's winning so far.
That's a hack. But this next one, I flipping ridiculous, is this.
Welded. Look at the spokes, how close they are together. So, this is in Australia. My 29-inch aluminium rim failed. I cut 25mm from the circumference of a 27-inch wheel and welded it together.
Look at that.
To make a very strong 29-inch wheel.
Look how close the spokes are there. That's ridiculous.
So that was a 27. He's
turning a 29.
So he welded the rim and then he re-spoked the wheel.
Yeah. Well, I think he cut a little piece out and then put it in there. And
oh, my gosh.
Hey, no, that's brilliant, isn't it?
I'm lost on that one.
Would you trust that? No. Hack? Or a bodge?
That is a bodge, surely. So,
definitely.
From Australia. From down under. One. Yeah, he's from down under. I feel like, you know.
Hans, are you picking a winner? Well, who's going to win the GMBM mug this week?
You got the shifter, you got the wall mount, and you've got the welded wheel.
You have to give it to the welded wheel. I never heard anything like it. Come on.
Yes! I'm stoked that one won because Flepping, that's brilliant. Look at it.
Oh,
look at that.
Gosh.
Gosh.
Right, get involved. Send over your details. You'll be getting an email very soon. Your stunt mug is coming your way. Now, if you want to get involved with Hacks and Bodges, there is a link down in the below.
All right, if you saw any of our recent videos from Girona, we were wearing some new GMBN jerseys. We've got five new designs. Good news is that off and out, if you buy a jersey, then you get a free GMBN headset top cap. Part of the deal.
And you don't have to put it on your top cap. You could put it around your neck as a bit of bling.
Really?
No, not really.
Not sure about that. Head over to the GMBN shop. A link is in the description down below. We thank you for your support. Right, the caption contest photo from last week is Blake totally in control.
Totally in control of your bike, Neil. Your brand new
getting
bike.
Getting bucked. We've all done it. We've all been there. Got bucked like that at Fort William World Champs in front of loads of people.
Did you crash?
I buzzed my peak on my front tyre.
What?
But did not crash.
How the heck did you get out of that?
Really?
My most embarrassing moment of my life in a British skin suit.
I've worn that.
You know,
skin
jumping
suit
into the final. I used to call the Tiso jump, I think, because it's Scotland jump.
Yeah,
it's quite embarrassing.
I did this nose wheelie once in a race. It was a famous crash back in '93 at the Honda Mount World Cup. And it was a really blurry background, and the caption said in the magazine, Hans Ray on his way to the hospital.
Did you go to the hospital?
Yeah, it was a wig in there. Punctured the lung and everything.
Proper job.
Right, you people have put in your comments down below, hashtag caption contest, and we got one here from AdamMTB11. The moment time slowed down for his life to flash before his eyes.
It's one of the worst feelings ever. It is. You know it's happening.
Oh. It is. It's nasty. It's nasty.
Rock LT says, Blake's advice for this week, lock out all your joints for maximum comfort. Maximum ragdoll when you crash.
Yeah.
Jason True, this is quite interesting, says, here we see Neil Donoghue in pursuit of the most famous stunt rider, Hans No Way Ray, but he came up a day late and a pound short. How did he know you were coming in?
How did he know you were coming in? He's, there he is. We got Hippocampus _1. Why is everyone saying that passenger mode is dangerous? It is dangerous.
Yeah, you survived.
I survived. Tell the tale. Yeah. It's not very nice, is it? It's not very nice. Anyway.
It's always good when you can tell the tale.
Yeah, it is good. So, a winner. We need to pick a winner. A race jersey to go to one of these beautiful people.
Surely it's Jason for previewing the future and knowing that Hans Ray was going to be in the building.
100%,
Jason True.
Yes.
Send you one of our new coloured jerseys.
Ooh,
I guess.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know until yesterday.
Exactly.
No, we
so there
know.
Was no like leakage.
No leakage. Yeah. No. Anyway, this is this week's caption contest photo. Look at that.
mental.
Ooh, snap. Anyway, let us know down in the comments down below. Hashtag caption contest. Put in your best or your worst.
Right, quickly, before we jump into the Bike Vault, what have we got coming up on the channel this week, Blake?
We've got some exciting stuff. You and I go head-to-head again, Neil, out in Girona.
Present a challenge.
Yes.
I can't remember what we did, other than we tried to nose-wheelie down that steep slab. I didn't do it very well. Spoiler alert.
Yep, anyway, we did a few good challenges out there. You, Neil?
And we've got top 10 bike handling skills coming on the Thursday. Anyway, it's time for the Bike Vault.
All the best bit.
What have we got first then, Blake?
Oh, Neil, one of my favourites in the whole world is a new Proof Scout 2023. It's a 27.5. It has GX on there, Saint brakes, 140mm pikes.
That is not the UK in February. That is
definitely
Dog Bone Trails, Buckeye, Arizona.
Have you been
there? Not to Buckeye, but I've been to Arizona quite a bit.
It's a fancy build. It's got industry 9 wheels.
What are we saying?
I think it's a super nice deal.
All right, cool, man.
All right.
Now we are over to Mount Stromlo, Canberra. I raced Daniel there.
Australia.
The ITD.
Australasia.
That could be in England, though.
That could be. Yeah, it's a bit dry, though.
More kangaroos over there.
Yeah.
This is Frank's Polygon Siskiyou T829er, Fox 34 Rhythm.
On the front. Yeah, it's nice. I like the colour of the helmet.
What a super nice way to finish your day. This is what Frank is saying. He's trying to influence us here.
Oh, he is. And it's got your name on the front wheel there. Look at that. Hans.
Hans Stumpf. I didn't invent that tire, just for the record. But I've been riding it, actually.
So what are you giving that bike?
Well, just for that tire.
Super nice.
Super nice. Oh, no, this that is a hell of a photo.
I was going to say, it's a really nice picture. This is Sauce Boss is Generation 6 Trek Fuel EX in Crescent, Connecticut. New bike day after 7,000 miles on a hardtail. It's time to build up full suspension bike. Wow. From a Roscoe to the full SUS.
He's in full climb mode spec there. Look at his drivetrain.
Is that a...
That's Shimano.
Light. I wondered if it was one of those, like, bear
belts.
That is
really well photographed.
It is, isn't it?
You know, like, for that, you know, shady light, you know. Wow.
That's a good-looking bike.
And for being a new bike day, it's dirty. We see bikes on the street, new.
Snowy.
I think that's super nice.
That's a nice setup,
super nice for sure.
Oh my gosh. This is Ian's Ibis Ritmo AF in Norseman, Western Australia.
Literally AF to that. Wow.
That was one of those bad ideas.
I like those brown tires.
That's tan wheels to gone wrong.
It's been a long time since I've done a ride like that where I've just completely regretted it.
Turn your bike into a fat bike.
Yeah, I've had a motorbike like that, Neil. It's horrible.
What are you going to do with that? Ride it fast and just throw all the mud everywhere.
I think that's super nice. Yeah. That's the most dirtiest bike we've had in the bike.
You better wash it the same day because otherwise...
Don't get stuck on that. I think that's the dirtiest bike we've ever seen.
All right, this is ADV's Yeti Arc 2023. First ride in the woods after 4 months in the desert.
Beautiful.
Good. Look at the flowers.
Look at that. The bike just pops there.
That is Yeti colours. It looks kind of different. It's kind of bluey rather than
It's slightly different.
Yeah. What I mean.
But sometimes that happens when people work on the photos.
I think it's a super nice.
Go on.
100% super
nice. Oh, three dogs. I mean, bonus dogs. That obviously helps you out.
They're all looking at the camera.
Yeah.
They're all looking at the camera.
It must have gone. Yeah. Must have whistled.
Australia.
We're not going to go let them ride, you know. We want them to hang out with us.
2023 Canny Talk Collective Edition. Mm. Does that come with a boxer up front, or is he added?
I think he's added it on. I think he's gone free ride on this.
Is that a mullet?
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like a 20.
It looks very aggressive. I mean, I think that guy is going big.
Yeah. I like the look of it.
That's super nice.
Boom. Have we gone full super nice?
Yeah, I think so, Neil. I know, we missed that one nice.
James's 2023 Propane Tie 6 CF, upstate New York. First new bike in 20 years. All I can say is, wow, how bikes must have changed in that time. That's crazy.
He's got a shock whiz on the front there.
Whoa, has he?
Yeah, on the front fork. See it?
We didn't have those 20 years ago.
No, we didn't do it, no.
Full SRAM axis.
Well, that must be a change, from a upgrade from 20 years.
I think that's super nice.
Got to say.
All these orange cars.
Super nice. Okay, what about this one? The fat bike of the year. Look at that.
Another dog. Bonus dogs this week.
Look at that dog. It stood there. Well, it's not. It's sat there. It's sat there looking at camera.
A major's bike in Gothenburg, Sweden. Always a treat when my mum's dog Nora is staying with us. We managed to get out on the local trails.
Oh, can I say it's a super nice?
Yeah.
Look at the size of that mudguard, dude. Super nice.
Lovely mutt.
So there we have it, Neil.
Yeah.
The show is done with a very, very special guest.
Thank you very much, Hans, for coming. And, of course, viewers can check him out. If you're in the UK, go and check out your tour.
Yeah. Speakers on the Edge.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, Speakers from the Edge. Come and see me, say hi, and thank you, and I hope to see you guys there.
Yeah, we'll be good. Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next week.